You're back with the KGNC Agribusiness News Hour. I'm Shannon Gray, and we are rounding out today's show with Stilly Fischbacher of Texas Wheat Producers. Stilly, we really appreciate you being back with us today.
Yeah, happy to be here this morning.
Absolutely. We always love having you on. And we are in that time of year where we kick off our report pretty much 100% of the time looking at crop updates. What do you have on that front for us this week?
Sure. Well, we do have our crop out there on the ground, and we've been watching it grow as we move through this season. We talk every week basically about drought conditions. We have seen a little bit of improvement in our drought monitor readings for this week. We do know we've had significant snowfall in a lot of our areas, significant snowfall in areas that had really bad drought conditions even. So I know I was talking to my dad earlier this week, who farms in Terry County in the South Plains, and he was very excited about the snowfall that they had received. So we're hoping that's going to be beneficial for the wheat that's out there. In addition to that, we did receive several new reports from USDA this week. One we've been waiting on for a while is our wheat seedings report. So this is the first look that USDA gives us of what they think we planted in Texas. They have us pegged at 4.8 million acres, which is actually down 2% from 4.9 million last year. That was a little bit of a surprise to us here in the office. We talked about and tried to guess, you know, are we going to have an increase or a decrease? But like I said, it came in just a little bit lower than what we saw last year. In terms of the U.S. crop, winter wheat is actually, it was up over last year, but still at the fourth lowest on record in terms of plantings. So we're still really low in our wheat plantings compared to where we were, say, 20 years ago. We've been on a steady decline. Hard red winter is up 4% from 2020. Again, a lower figure historically, but very nice to see that bump of 4% year over year versus last year. That's really important when you start looking at what are those critical winter wheat producing states. So Kansas had a big jump, Montana and North Dakota, they all had increases in their planted acres. And then some of the largest decreases were in Nebraska and then in Texas, because we have so many acres, even a 2% decline is a significant number when looking at those figures nationwide. So that's kind of what we saw from that seedings report. Lower ending stocks is kind of what we saw in the WASDE report that was released. We were watching what would happen there for wheat. They lowered our ending stocks to 836 million bushels. That was mostly on an increase in feed use. So actually, we're now at our lowest ending stocks in 6 years. So that's a good story for our farmers, that we are using that wheat and trying to work on the supply that we have here in the U.S. Also, they did raise our season average price forecast. Previously, we'd been at, previously we'd been a little lower. They increased it 15 cents. So now they're projecting $4.85. So that's for the 2021 marketing year. So we'll have to watch that as we finish out this marketing year through the end of May and see what that figure tends to do. But we do know what we are seeing right now is significantly higher prices in the futures and cash markets than we've seen in the past few years. So that's also an ongoing thing we're looking at, but a beneficial thing for our farmers.
Yeah, you know, off of that WASDE, grain markets across the board saw a really big rally on the board. And then you factor in that seedings report. Did that kind of, you know, was it kind of a wash between the two of those?
I think mostly it was supportive of higher prices. And then we take a step back and look at what's going on globally. We do know we're going to have a large crop globally, but there are some of our major competitors that have some issues right now. We've talked before about Russia instituting an export tax, which could be really beneficial for U.S. producers in terms of export competitiveness. And so I think right now what we're seeing is mostly supportive measures for price increases, especially when you take in that, yes, we did have an increase in our planted acres nationwide, but we're still at a lower level.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. And listen, higher prices, always a good thing. I'm knocking on wood right now because we don't need
that. Yes, ma'am. Me too.
Well, and with that, there's still assistance out there for producers. We're still in the middle of a pandemic. Hopefully we will see the end of that tunnel here shortly, sometime in 2021. But a lot of our producers out there are taking advantage of that Paycheck Protection Program, that PPP program. They've actually made some changes to that as well in the last week or so.
That's right. So right before the end of the year, we saw that big omnibus package that came out of DC that included coronavirus aid. One of the things included in there was some changes and modifications to the Paycheck Protection Program. This was a program that honestly was pretty popular with farmers the first round. We kind of started that application process kind of March of last year and moved through the year. But several of the farmers that we work with did apply for that program and thought it was very beneficial. It was a very uncertain time. We didn't know what was going to be happening in terms of keeping our employees on board, which is what the program is designed to do, and then support salaries and the compensation our farmers give themselves as the managers and operators. And so what they were doing is basing most of that off of their Schedule F net income. What the change here is that if you did apply for that first round of the Paycheck Protection Program and received a loan based on that net income figure, they've actually changed that, and you might have the option to go back and request that they look at gross receipts. This is going to be a very big change for most of our farmers who are applying for this program. It is capped, that those gross receipts are capped at $100,000. So just if you applied for round one, you're interested in what this might look like, we're just encouraging folks to talk to their bankers. They have all the information and expertise that they need there. And these rules just came out on January 7th. So we had the legislation at the end of the year, and then January 7th, we started to see some of this guidance. So there is at least a pathway here to, if you want to review that first loan and see if it might be changed for you based on the way it was calculated and these new changes, there is that option available. So we're just encouraging our farmers to take a look at it and call their banker if they're interested.
Wonderful. And yeah, and on the CFAP front, that Coronavirus Food Assistance Program, we're still waiting for that final rule to even get that third round going, right?
That's right. Yeah. And we're actually expecting that to have to wait till after we see the new administration in place, we'll see a new rule. So, and I know from some conversations we've had with USDA, they're still having to come up with new software for some of those payments. So still a little ways to wait here.
And have you talked to anyone personally in our area that took advantage of that program either?
Of the Paycheck Protection or the CFAP?
The CFAP.
Yes. Yeah. So most of our farmers, almost all of the ones that we've talked to, our board members, is very popular program. So yes, I expect, and it sounds to me like we have to wait for that rule, right? But it sounds to me like the sign-up process for this third round is going to be very smooth, especially for our crop growers. They already have those acres certified, which is what the payment is based off of. So it should flow really smoothly once we see it rolled out.
Yeah, I asked that today, especially off of this update, because Paycheck Protection is a little more, I don't know what the word is. I don't want to say picky, but it's a little more, it's smaller in scope, right? So that we have so many folks locally, I mean, it's great that we had people take part in PPP, but to hear also that CFAP was so successful locally is really just, I mean, lucky to have it, you know?
Yes, we agree. Yeah. That assistance, we made the argument that we felt that assistance was really needed just based on where we'd seen our conditions in the farm economy. And so, yes, I think it's very helpful for our region.
Wonderful. And so those are the federal level programs. We just started our Texas legislative session. What are you watching with that?
Sure. Well, yep, you're right. So we just started on Tuesday. On Monday, what we were looking for was the biennial revenue estimate from the comptroller. So we saw that we were expecting a very steep decline in revenue for going into this next biennium. And we do have one, we do have a decline, but not what we were seeing as projections early this summer. So that's kind of the good news is, yes, we'll be working with a limited budget, but it's not quite as bad as what we thought it could be. So we'll have to continue working within those means, whatever policy issues we want to work on, whatever issues come up that we think are important to act on in favor of wheat farmers. That budget will be a big part of what those are. As we move through the session, we've identified a few priorities that we'll be working with our ag partners on. So at the state level, it's really easy to partner with our other organizations. Eminent domain reform, always last few sessions, it's been a huge priority for all of the ag groups. As always, protecting landowner rights, specifically when we start talking about water use. That's always a big one for us, making sure that we're up to speed on what's happening in Austin on that issue. Also, something that's popped up recently in the last few years is kind of this effort to move our seed certification process to a private organization. Right now, TDA handles, our Texas Department of Agriculture handles that seed certification. There's just been some conversations within the industry of would that be better managed by a private group like a crop improvement association to handle that seed certification. What we've seen over the last few years is as TDA has had some budget constraints, and so they've been raising fees on users of many of their programs. We've had to deal with that on several of the programs that our farmers are involved in. And so looking at, could this program be run more efficiently and at a lower cost to our producers as a private organization? So that's, again, something we'll look at and probably lend support to as we move through this session.
All right. Wonderful. Yeah, the session's just getting started, so I'm sure we'll have more updates as we go. But always a pleasure speaking with you, and we really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, that is Stilly Fishbacher with Texas Wheat Producers. That's going to wrap up our Monday edition of the KGNC Agribusiness News Hour. I hope y'all go out there and have a great one. I'm KGNC Agribusiness News Director, Shannon Gray.